at KHNC 1360 The Lion. That's 1-800-205-6245.
Well, Dr. Stan here, and I just got a call from one of my regular listeners telling me about one of the major call-in programs in Southern California, where, of course, they have a very conservative talk show host. But recently, he had interviewed the author of a new book that says the definitive story is Lee Harvey Oswald was the lone gunman, and he alone was responsible for killing President Kennedy. Now, why, here we are, 44 years after Kennedy was killed, why is somebody writing a book, and I think it was the former district attorney of Los Angeles, a fellow named Pelosi, why is he writing a book saying Lee Harvey Oswald was a lone gunman when there is so much evidence, of course, that this was a conspiracy? It involved the FBI, the CIA, it involved the mafia, certainly it involved people of great wealth in the military who wanted to get rid of President Kennedy, and we, of course, interviewed Lyndon Johnson's mistress, and we have her testimony that Lyndon had told her about the assassination the night before, or for all intents and purposes, and other interviews with people, you know, the doctor was in Parkland Hospital when they brought the bodies in, that will tell you quite frankly, Dr. Crenshaw, that the wounds that he saw were entirely different than the wounds that were described to the public, and certainly there is little question at all that the FBI and the CIA and the mafia were involved. In fact, one of the shooters has come forward and told the story, but you're not hearing that. What they're doing is constantly trying to confuse the American people. In fact, there was even investigation of, well, the last congressional investigation came up with the conclusion that there was a conspiracy. They were able to identify four shots that were fired, which, of course, puts the lie to everything. So why are some of the leading conservative, so-called conservative talk show hosts featuring a book that says that Lee Harvey Oswald was the lone gunman? Because they can't let the American people know the truth. And that is, of course, that the media is controlled, that the CIA and the FBI were in on the coup d'etat that took place as they killed an American president so they could involve us in the war in Vietnam. Well, Withers this morning is a man I've known for many years, and when I practiced medicine, he was one of my patients. His name is Bruce Adamson, and he came into some money because of a suit against the post office. And instead of using that money to enjoy himself or invest and make a lot of money, he spent that money traveling across the country to track down the story of George DeMorne Sheldon. Who was George DeMorne Sheldon? Well, all the evidence is he was, number one, a CIA agent, and number two, he was Lee Harvey Oswald's handler for the CIA. Bruce, thanks so much for being with us this morning.
Good morning.
Well, it must have been an amazing odyssey as you traveled across the country obtaining information on the elusive person, George DeMorne Sheldon. Why don't you give the background for our listeners who don't know who George was and why you believe he was a CIA asset?
Well, he said he committed suicide. I mean, before he committed suicide, he said Oswald was set up for the assassination. And then you look at all of his intelligent background, World War One, he's working for Nelson Rockefeller, the head of Inter-American Affairs, which is a sister organization of the OSS. He's also working for William F. Buckley Sr. in Venezuela, Panapiki Oil, and DeMorne Sheldon had ties to Allen Dulles, George Bush Sr., Lyndon Johnson. You know, he's writing and communicating to Lyndon Johnson 7 months before the vice president Johnson, before the assassination, and he's tied to all these CIA organizations, such as the Dallas Council on World Affairs, which was founded by Neil Mallon, and that was George Bush Sr.'s mentor. And when his brother worked for the CIA, his brother's best friend was a writer for the Wall Street Journal, William Henry Chamberlain, who founded one of the CIA's radio programs. But there's just so many ties. It goes on and on and on, you know, and it's just the American public aren't really aware of the name George de Bornschild. They've, you know, it's like a different language. So, you know, the guy was a white Russian, and nobody wants to know what the CIA is doing, or they don't want to know who this guy is. And he was whitewashed right out of the JFK assassination from the beginning.
And yet, of course, he was mentioned in the Warren Commission report, wasn't he?
Yeah, he gave over 200 pages of testimony, and they declared that he was Oswald's closest friend prior to the assassination of Kennedy.
And then, of course, when he is called to testify before the Congress, when the last investigation,
House Select Committee on Assassination Investigation in 77, when his friend Bush had just retired as CIA director, and they gave him 9 shock treatments. That's when he commits suicide outside of Palm Beach, Florida.
Just before he's to testify.
Same day.
The congressional investigation. So
the same day they served him.
Just before he's to investigate or testify before Senate, why he dies under very mysterious circumstances.
Right, with a shotgun.
Right. Well, anyway, first, why don't you just briefly go into the background of how you were able to get the George de Bornschild's, actually, was this his little diary? Was it his telephone directory? And all the names are in that?
Telephone directory. And then I spent 2 years and about $20,000 back in 92, 93, 94, researching as a genealogist. I've been a genealogist since 1982, and you have to kind of research each of the people in there and get to know who they are. You know, you have Igor Cassini in there, listed as Count Igor and Countess Igor Cassini. And
we'll be right back in just a moment with Bruce Adamson. There's no question at all why D. Harvey Oswald was working for probably several government agencies. We can't let the people know that. They'd realize we are under control.
Constitutional Moments are brought to you throughout the day through the generosity of C&C Prototype Machine, Boulder, Colorado.
If cholesterol, high blood pressure, angina, atherosclerotic plaque, or stroke are a concern for you or your loved one, or you want to strengthen your heart, increase stamina, and promote overall cardiovascular health, then join the Heart Technology team. Heart Technology, Linus Pauling's recommended vitamin C therapies, is the answer to your concern. Don't wait until it's too late. For more information and to order, call Dennis Daniels at 1-800-205-6245. Heart Technology, it's natural, it's effective, it's inexpensive, and it's guaranteed. 1-800-205-6245.
Worship and Warfare, Holy Places and In His Hands. 3 praise and worship CDs now available through Voice of Many Waters Ministry. Call 1-800-205-6245 or check it out on the web, www.voiceofmanywaters.org. Each CD is $15 plus $3.50 shipping and handling. Call 1-800-205-6245 or www.voiceofmanywaters.org. The American Freedom Network is not funded or supported by special interest groups or government programs. The American Freedom Network is not sponsored by advertisers demanding content or programming control. The American Freedom Network is solely funded by you, the listener. Please help keep the American Freedom Network on the air by purchasing one of our sponsors' fine products or by calling 1-800-205-6245 to make a donation. The American Freedom Network needs your help.
Some churches believe that Christians will be raptured before the coming of the Great Tribulation. Have you heard this teaching? Have you wondered if it was true? The Watchman's Cry is an interesting book by Obadiah Frank that uses the Bible and clearly explains that this teaching is not true. You can get The Watchman's Cry from the American Freedom Network by calling 1-800-205-6245. This amazing book is only $10 postpaid. Get it now by calling 1-800-205-6245, the American Freedom Network.
Well, Dr. Stan here at the American Freedom Network. Now, George Des Moines Shelf is a fascinating character. He certainly knew Alan Dulles, the head of the CIA, because his telephone number was Alan Dulles' telephone number was in the telephone directory little book that Des Moines Shelf carried with him.
Alan Dulles, you said?
Yes.
No, he wasn't.
His number wasn't there.
No, but I found a letter going around the country that the CIA destroyed, and that was a letter from Alan Dulles 3 days after he took over as CIA director, 10 years before the assassination in 1953, to Dmitri von Mornschild, Professor Dmitri von Mornschild at Dartmouth, talking about the Trojan Dove Project, which was founded by Dmitri's best friend, William Henry Chamberlain, who wrote for the Wall Street Journal.
And this was, of course, de Mornschild's brother then.
Yes. And Dmitri and William Henry Chamberlain were both CIA. I found a letter from Rush Limbaugh Sr. to William Henry Chamberlain, way back in the 50s. But that letter, Alan Dulles writing to Dmitri, was in 53, in February 27th, at the very time that Bush Sr. started his offshore oil program for the CIA's Zapata Oil. And at the same time, de Mornschild's father-in-law was in charge of the CIA's operation in Guatemala.
And he was George de Mornschild's father?
Father-in-law.
Father-in-law, okay.
And that was Samuel Walter Washington, who is descended from President George Washington's brothers on both his mother and father's side.
All right, what was the relationship between de Mornschild and George Herbert Walker Bush?
Well, that goes back to 1942. Bush Sr. wrote me a letter admitting that he knew Lee Harvey Oswald's best friend since 1942, because...
That's de Mornschild.
De Mornschild, right. De Mornschild's nephew was Edward Gordon Hooker, Bush's roommate at Andover and at Yale, and they went in the Navy together. Edward Gordon Hooker was a member of the New York Stock Exchange and business partners with George de Mornschild during the 50s. And Edward Gordon Hooker is a cousin to Mrs. John D. Rockefeller through the Hooker family. And that was how they got associated. But, you know, there are a lot of letters between de Mornschild and Bush that tie each other all the way around the JFK assassination, such as in what way?
In other words, why do these letters between de Mornschild and the president's father, George Herbert Walker Bush, how do they sort of suggest that somehow they were tied together?
Well,
as far as the assassination was concerned.
Well, 7 months before the assassination, Prescott Bush, the grandpa of our president, worked at Brown Brothers and Harriman, and he went to work for them April 11, '63, the very day that de Mornschild meets with Oswald for the last time. And a month later, Brown Brothers and Harriman is giving de Mornschild, who has no credit, a $300,000 line of credit. And then de Mornschild had the perfect alibi. He was in Haiti at the time that Kennedy was killed. Of course, he gives three stories. He says he was in Dallas, he was in Haiti, and he was on the other side of the island at Dr. Schwartz. I can't pronounce his name, Schwartzer's Hospital. Albert?
Schwartzer.
Yes. And so de Mornschild gives three different stories, you know, but he is getting a $300,000 line of credit from the grandpa of the president. And then George Bush Sr. admitted to me in writing that he had known DeMornschild since 1942 because he was the uncle of his roommate at Andover and at Yale, but he didn't know about his American intelligence background when both were in the CIA during the 1950s. And DeMornschild's father-in-law was in charge of 250 CIA agents during the 1953 Guatemala coup, and that was 10 years before JFK's assassination. And that began in 1950.
All right, fine.
And, well, and that was Samuel Walter Washington.
Now, what was the relationship between George DeMornschild and Lyndon Johnson? I mean, why would Lyndon be agreeing to meet with DeMornschild? I mean, here's the Vice President of the United States, and here's this little guy. I mean, who is DeMornschild? How does he have so much power and influence? And then apparently there was a letter from Johnson to DeMornschild that was that had been fairly well destroyed, and you found it down in Johnson Library. What's the story there?
Well, I found two letters, one to Johnson and one from Johnson the day after, April 17th and 18th of 63, a week after DeMornschild is with Lee Harvey Oswald.
All right, fine.
And then Lyndon Johnson says that he'd be glad to meet with DeMornschild the following week, and they meet on April the 26th and May 20th. And you have to keep in mind that Lyndon Johnson and Prescott Bush were quite friendly when they were both senators.
Mm-hmm.
And Prescott gave up his job as senator on April the 11th. So everything kind of fits, you know, conveniently.
What was in the letter, then, that you found in the Johnson Library from Johnson to DeMornschild?
Well,
and you commented one time that the people down there weren't too happy when you found that letter?
Well, yeah, they got real angry because here I am showing that the vice president is writing and meeting with Lee Harvey Oswald's best friend 7 months before the assassination of President Kennedy.
Which makes Johnson become the president of the United States.
Right, right, and it makes him look... I mean, how would you explain that? It's like being struck by lightning and, you know, you can't... And I was the first to publish this letter and, you know, in both letters. You know, DeMornschild is writing to Johnson on the 17th and Johnson is writing back on the 18th. And then they're meeting on the 26th. But they didn't have express mail, and DeMornschild left Dallas on the 17th. And the day he left, his neighbor burned up in a house fire in the apartment next to him. And that was Professor Wolf at SMU University. And then they destroyed the report on why Professor Wolf burned up in this fire in Dallas, Texas.
Well, are you suggesting that there might have been some relationship between the professor and DeMornschild?
Well, he might have known something. He might have known about the Walker shooting, which was on December the 10th. On April the 10th, I'm sorry, where Oswald allegedly shot at right-wing General Walker, and then DeMornschild is hanging out with him the next day.
And I think it's so interesting that Lee Harvey Oswald, was such a good shot that he could get off three bullets, two of which hit the president, and yet, of course, in a motorcade, you know, way down below the Texas Book dispensary window where he was standing. But here, General Walker is sitting in a chair, silhouetted against the window, you know, at nighttime. He's just outside the window, and he misses him. That was pretty poor shooting on the part of such a superb marksman.
And how could he make the shots at Kennedy without leaving nitrates on his face? Because he would have been looking down the scope and having to shoot through the trees. When he had a clear shot before the limousine made the turn, he could have hit Kennedy right smack dab. If he was really looking down the scope with malice intent trying to kill him, you know, there would have been gunpowder nitrates on his face. And that would explain why he says, "I'm just a patsy." And that would explain why DeMornschild wrote the book, "I'm Just a Patsy."
Mm-hmm. What did DeMornschild say in that book? Do you have that book posted on your website?
I have the book on my CD, which has 2,500 pages, 14 books. But it talks about Ruby Rosa. And they call him nicknamed Ruby, who was friends with the Cassinis. Now, Ruby Rosa's father-in-law was killed in the Dominican Republic, and that was President Trujillo of the Dominican Republic.
But what does that have to do with Lee Harvey Oswald?
Well, Ruby Rosa was with JFK in Fort Worth the day before he was killed in Dallas.
Okay.
And then he's good friends with the Cassinis, who are good friends with de Morenschel.
But as far as the book that de Morenschel wrote, bring out? What information does it have that most people don't know?
Well, it's rambling. It has a lot of different information about how he dated Jackie's mother in 1938, Jackie Kennedy. And it just has, he felt responsible for Oswald and that, you know, that it just has a lot of details and kind of theories, different theories.
About the assassination or what?
Yes.
So this is a book written by de Morenschel.
Right, and it was an exhibit in the House Select Committee on Assassinations. You know, it wasn't ever published, but it was an exhibit for an event.
Does it have anything that really admits that Lee Harvey Oswald was not the murderer?
No, because he would be in custody if he really put it down. You know, he didn't want to go to jail.
Well, under any circumstances, you've actually put your research into a series of books, and now it's also available on CD?
It's been available on CD, you know, for about 5 years, and several of the books were edited by an attorney, former deputy attorney general for the state of California, who worked with Bugalosi's partner, Stephen Kay, in the Charles Manson case. Mm-hmm. In another murder trial where the murderer was convicted in the U.S. Supreme Court for the murder Lawrence Bittaker, who's on death row right now. And that attorney was Colonel Andrew Amerson, a prosecutor for the Judge Advocate General's office. And he had worked very closely with Stephen Kay in the Lawrence Bittaker case, who Stephen Kay could not handle that case because this Lawrence Bittaker killed 7 girls and tape recorded the murder of 7 teenage girls, whereas Stephen Kay was the original prosecutor for Charles Manson.
And all right, but this, as far as you mentioned that a former state attorney general had edited some of your books. Why did he edit your book? And did he take anything out of the books?
No, he's a family friend.
Oh, I see, okay.
And he is also a prosecutor for the Judge Advocate General's office.
All right.
Was.
So the story basically then is all on the CD, which you will, and we'll give you an opportunity to get the address out where people can get this, and then we'll open the program for calls after we take our next break. Again, if you'd like to call in, the number is 970-689-8255. But Bruce has done really the definitive study on George de Morenschel, a shadowy figure who is Lee Harvey Oswald's best friend. And you have to ask yourself why this person who came from really Russian royalty, well, at least the nobility, was he coming from one of the nobility of Russia?
Yes, he was. He was of very distinguished Russian royal roots.
All right, fine. And so why is he the best friend of Lee Harvey Oswald, you know, who's certainly, in many respects, a nobody? Oh, but, of course, there are many, many people who believe that Lee Harvey Oswald was working for the government. That was the reason he went to Russia. And that was the reason he did all the things he did when he returned to the United States. We'll be right back in just a moment here at the American Freedom Network.
Phillips, founder of the Green Herb.
The people who are controlling the government of America are the same people who are trying to control your family's health care. You can sit quietly by and accept their plan, or you can take responsibility for your health. What would happen if you could no longer obtain the medications you're now taking? Would you be forced to join the ranks of corrupt agents just to purchase the medicine? If you're one of the thousands of concerned citizens who would like to know more about a natural way, God's way to help, drop by the Green Herb for a natural solution and all the information you need to make an intelligent decision. Or go to our website, www.thegreenherb.com. Come by the Green Herb, located in Wheat Ridge, Colorado, on the I-70 Frontage Road North, 1 mile west of Kipling. Or call 888-765-HERB. That's 888-765-4372. And be sure to listen to the Green Herb Show with Linda and Dr. Cass every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on KHNC.
How many of you battle the symptoms of failing health with toxic medications and inconvenient supplements? Do you feel like you've been fighting battles but losing the war? How about winning the war for a change? Introduce BioSuperfood in your diet and increase the metabolic activity of each cell in your body for greater repair, detoxification, and regeneration. Gain immediate energy, boost your immune system, and restore your health with extraordinary whole and organic nutrients in BioSuperfood. Win the war against disease. Call now, 877-288-9116.
If you enjoy alternative stations on the radio, shouldn't your TV service provide the same choices? You can get more channels than you have now, plus many more Christian and family programs in crystal clear 100% digital picture and sound, and the price is significantly lower than cable. Just call Rocky Mountain Satellite at 970-443-7375. Already enjoying satellite TV but want a lower price? We can help you too. Packages start at only $19.99 a month. Call 970-443-7375. DVRs and high definition also available.
Columbine Hearing Center understands your hearing, speaking, and listening problems. Call highly qualified, nationally certified audiologist Michelle Gross for your hearing test, hearing aid, and listening rehabilitation needs. With 25 years of experience, you will get accurate diagnosis and treatment, undivided attention, and service. Call 303-857-6688 for a personal hands-on evaluation. Columbine Hearing Center, 303-857-6688. Financing, Medicaid, and Medicare available.
Insulin, Our Silent Killer is a book written by author and scientist Thomas Smith. In this self-help manual for diabetes and other blood sugar handling problems, you'll learn the true cause of this disease and what you can do about it. Insulin, Our Silent Killer is available from the American Freedom Network for only $29.95 postpaid. Call 1-800-205-6245. This extensively referenced book is a must-read for everyone. Insulin, Our Silent Killer. Call 1-800-205-6245.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the American Freedom Network, our telephone number, 970-689-8255, and our guest is Bruce Adamson, who's written really the definitive work on George Du Moineschildt. Bruce, how can people get the information you have, your webpage, and how can they get the CD or the other
books,
information
they
you
can
have?
Get them individually, too, but they can go to the website, which is real easy to remember. It's just CIAJFK.com, or they can go to your website. But if they are interested, I hope they mention Radio Liberty so I can make a contribution.
Oh, we'll appreciate that. Now, what again is the is there a telephone number to call?
Well, they can call and leave a message on, you know, or if they have email, they can email me at bca@CIAJFK.com or...
One more time. How can they email you?
BCA at the at symbol and then the website, CIAJFK.com.
All right. Then, of course, that's for Bruce Adamson. So is it BCA?
At CIAJFK.com.
Okay.
And I've been doing this 15 years off and on, and no, I've been doing it pretty regularly, 15 years. But it's you know, it's just the story. You can't let history escape you. You have to get the story right, and you have to keep the story going. You know, you know whether you live or die. You know, I have a will where if anything happens to me, my research goes to public domain, where anybody can sell my books and make a profit at it without my family or anybody that's close to me profiting. The only thing I retain are CD and film rights. And that's how you keep the story going. You know, it's just people, I put over $200,000 and 15 years of my life into this. I could have had a family, and, you know, I don't want all that work to be done in vain. And it's real. It's not make-believe like so many movies that are being produced today. Everything is in another world. You know, they're not really of substance.
Well, it's a fascinating, fascinating story, and certainly Bruce has talked to so many people who knew DeMorne Shelton and followed him career almost on a day-to-day basis with all of the records that were there. And certainly, so if you're out there in the listening audience, you have any question, the number is 970-689-8255. But there was a conspiracy to kill an American president. And, of course, the major thrust today is to confuse the American people, keep bringing out more books that insist that the Warren Commission was absolutely correct. Well, of course, the Warren Commission was set up not to reveal, but to conceal what happened, and certainly the people who were on the commission who went along with the situation were well reported. There was a fellow named Ford, Jerry Ford. He was on the commission. He became the vice president and then the president of the United States, and certainly one of the assistant counsels there, the man who devised the magic bullet. Was that Charles Schumer?
Arlen Specter.
Specter, Arlen Specter, right. And, of course, they made him a senator, and his job was, of course, to popularize the idea of the magic bullet. I mean, that was, of course, this amazing, amazing bullet that, you know, went through President Kennedy and left, you know, bullet fragments, and Governor Connally his chest and left bullet fragments, and went through his right wrist and left bullet fragments, and then his left thigh and left bullet fragments, but then the bullet magically reconstituted itself, and it was found in pristine condition lying on the gurney next to Governor Connally when he was taken to Parkland Hospital. And how anybody could even possibly imagine this was true, you know, bullets don't reconstitute themselves. But this bullet did, the magic bullet.
I interviewed Governor Connally.
Well, so what did he tell you?
Well, he just told me, he didn't tell me a whole lot, but he was kind of funny. I asked him if he was working on President Bush's campaign against Bill Clinton way back in, that was 92, and he said he was, and I go, so you're a Republican? And he goes, yeah, but I'm a good one.
I see. Well, did he tell you anything at all about what happened on the morning of the assassination?
No, no. They wanted to pull out the metal in his body to see, you know, what the weight would be compared to all the other bullet fragments. Because, you know, you got the windshield cracking in the limousine, you got a dent in the middle of the rim of the windshield, so you've got all these pieces that are, you know, the curb being chipped, and they destroyed the curb and the bullet that was found.
You're saying there were a lot of other bullets that were fired, but they had to cover that up.
They covered it up, yeah, and the family fought tooth and nail when he was buried to release the metal fragments in his body to compare it with the other bullet fragments.
And the family wouldn't allow it to be done?
No. So, and actually, during the 60s, Bush and Connally really hated each other, or Bush really hated Connally. But Conley was LBJ's really good friend, and that's what always kind of threw a loop into it. Why would LBJ, you know, be setting something up where his good friend, Governor Conley, was going to get hurt? You know, that wasn't part of the picture.
Yeah, but obviously somebody did want to kill Conley. And the question is, why?
Well, I know Bush hated him, and it's written in the biographies that they just didn't get along. And then Conley's kind of switched parties from a Democrat to support Richard Nixon, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's just one little nugget of the story.
Well, now what was this? Was there a bullet hole, or was there some sort of bullet fragment in the windshield of the car too?
Yeah, there was a crack in the windshield, and then there was a, you know, they have this real strong metal frame that holds the windshield.
Mm-hmm.
That had a pretty good sized dent in it. So that was kind of, you know, odd.
Well, was that thought to be a bullet that had glanced off? Because obviously this was a...
Well, it could have been an exploding bullet, you know, a bullet that explodes on impact. You know, I don't know, or some people have called in suggesting that they are used ice bullets, you know, that melt, so I don't know. You know,
well,
I can't give you the definitive on, you know, the all the bullets and everything, but...
Well, certainly I think that there's no question at all that there were probably several shooters, and certainly one of them was Jimmy Files. At least he claims he was a shooter on the grassy knoll. He's in prison. There are a number of interviews on him out there, and I think he's covered in the video the men who killed Kennedy. But, you know, they can't let the American people know that, you know, that they would have a commission not to reveal the truth, but to conceal it. And then if they would do it then, would they do that on what happened on September 11th, 2001? We'll be right back in a moment. Welcome to your calls.
Tapes of the preceding show are available by calling 1-800-205-6245, the American Freedom Network. If you enjoy alternative stations on the radio, shouldn't your TV service provide the same choices? You can get more channels than you have now, plus many more Christian and family programs in crystal clear 100% digital picture and sound, and the price is significantly lower than cable. Just call Rocky Mountain Satellite at 970-443-7375. Already enjoying satellite TV but want a lower price? We can help you too. Packages start at only $19.99 a month. Call 970-443-7375. DVRs and high definition also available. More than 31 million Americans have some type of hearing problem. Only 1 in 5 will seek help. Do you frequently misunderstand conversations? Do you often ask people to repeat what they're saying? Do your ears ring? If you're the one who's always turning up the volume on the TV or the radio, maybe it's time to get a hearing evaluation by a professional, certified, caring audiologist. Call Michelle at the Columbine Hearing Center, 303-857-6688. That's the Columbine Hearing Center, 303-857-6688.
Greetings, John Lofton, recovering Republican here. Are you like me? Does everything you see, read about, or hear make you want to... Yeah, do that. If so, then you really should hear our program, The American View. It starts right here on KHNC Radio, November 5th at 10 a.m. And though I have strong views, I do consider the opinion of others.
Why don't you get a toupee with some brains in it?
That's The American View, November 5th, 10 a.m.
Now is the time to begin to heal the planet.
Zip it out. Return the prize.
Radio is your best choice for advertising. Radio gets results. Call 1-800-205-6245 and find out just how inexpensive and effective radio can be. That's 1-800-205-6245. KHNC 1360, The Lion. That's 1-800-205-6245.
Well, Dr. Stan back here. Our guest this morning is Bruce Adamson, and Bruce has been at this, well, as long as I can remember. What is it, about 15 years you've been doing this?
15 years,
Bruce?
Yeah. Yeah, it's been a long time, and, you know, for the last few years I've been working on taking a book that I've been working on for two books, my very first books, The Life and Times of Captain George W. Ely, the youngest captain ever of the New York 7th Regiment, and also The Life and Papers of Rufus Easton. And Rufus was first postmaster of St. Louis and judge of the Louisiana Territory, and his sons were in charge of 150,000 troops during the American Civil War, and one was chief quartermaster at Leavenworth. Some of your listeners are in that area. And he was also in charge, chief quartermaster of General Sherman's army on the Cumberland March through Atlanta. And Ulysses S. Grant was very good friends with his brother, Alton Easton, who was inspector general of the Missouri Militia, another 55,000 troops during the Civil War.
Well,
I've turned that into a documentary for the past 3.5 years. I'm just finishing up on that.
Okay, fine, but let's sort of stick pretty much with Des Moines Shell, because I think that's what most of our listeners would be interested in. Is there anything else that they should know about Des Moines Shell, Lee Harvey Oswald's closest friend?
Well, you know, just because the former President Bush was friends with Oswald's best friend doesn't mean that he is, you know, guilt by association. What the listener should know is that on the day of the assassination, Bush called the FBI Houston office and said that he knew of somebody else talking about killing the president. But he never told anybody that he knew Lee Harvey Oswald's best friend since 1942. And then he was in charge of the Bay of Pigs invasion in 61. And then
you're speaking now, George Herbert Walker Bush.
Herbert Walker Bush.
Right.
And then FBI Director J. Edgar Hoover is briefing George Bush of the CIA the day after the assassination. So he's always around in all these different locations. And then his dad's giving Oswald's best friend a $300,000 line of credit. You know, at some point it becomes, you got to question, what's going on here? You know, when do you draw the line? You know, but that circumstantial evidence, you tie that in, and it really it becomes substantial.
Well, I don't think there's any question at all that that Des Moines Shelt was certainly had powerful ties to the CIA, and certainly with his brother being an agent, and his father-in-law being an agent, and his close at least his association with many of the movers and shakers, Lyndon Johnson, and certainly of George Herbert Walker Bush.
Yes,
and wasn't he working in this building that was more or less a CIA building?
Right. And Oswald was taken for a job interview. He met Sam Ballin, the owner of the La Fonda Hotel in New Mexico, and Des Moines Shell's friend, at the CIA Republic National Bank building. And that's where Neil Mallon, the founder of the Dallas Council on World Affairs, where Abraham Zapruder and Des Moines Shell and their wives were all members. And that was found. Neil Mallon is, obviously Bush thought so highly of him that he named his son Neil Mallon Bush. And that he was the president of Dressers Industry, another CIA corporation that was a front oil company. And Neil Mallon had 3 floors of that whole building, and then you had the law firm that represented the state of Texas in the investigation out of that office. Locke and Purnell was in that in the building. Locke and Purnell were the ones that organized the motorcade route, and then there are all these other CIA assets, and then George Crewe McGee, number 2 man at the Secretary of State, the State Department, was in the building, his oil company, and just a whole slew of CIA assets.
So,
and then
I mean, here's
Earl Mayfield's father was the head of the Ku Klux Klan candidate, you know, way back when, probably in the 20s, but Earl Mayfield was LBJ's buddy, and he was trying to bring Kennedy to Dallas. He says, when are you going to bring Kennedy to Dallas? Way back in 61, when Kennedy removed Alan Dulles as CIA director. And Alan Dulles, he was, that was probably one of the main motives, and that and the oil depletion allowance together. It's a combination of circumstances which result in that event.
Well, I think it was just, why would they put Alan Dulles, who obviously hated Kennedy because Kennedy had fired Dulles after the Bay of Pigs fiasco.
Right.
And why would they put Alan Dulles on
the Warren Commission.
On the Warren Commission to make sure there was no conspiracy to kill an American president?
He was the one that was really in charge because Earl Warren was too busy with the Supreme Court. He had to run everything over there.
And, of course, they couldn't let the American people know that the CIA had hired the mafia and was working with the FBI. Hoover hated the Kennedy brothers, and so he was quite happy to see both of them killed. And then, of course, the CIA wanted to get rid of Kennedy and contracted with the mafia. And certainly some of the oil men there didn't like Kennedy because of he'd cut their oil depletion allowance. But they had to create all sorts of diversions. Oh, it was the communists that did it. It was Fidel Castro that did it. You know, they had all these, they had one story that it was some of the Cuban people who had lost their friends at the Bay of Pigs, and they were mad at Kennedy. Oh, they were the ones that did it. They have all these alternative explanations just to confuse the American people. And now the latest book, which is being circulated, written by this fellow, former DA in Los Angeles, Pelosi, why it was a lone gunman. And believe me, a great deal of money is being spent even today to confuse the American people. Well, we're just about out of time. What are your parting thoughts for our listeners, Bruce?
Oh, just thanks for having me on. And
okay, we'll talk to you, tomorrow evening.
Next month.
Right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Radio is your best choice for advertising. Radio gets results. Call 1-800-205-6245 and find out just how inexpensive and effective radio can be. That's 1-800-205-6245. KHNC 1360, The Lion. That's 1-800-205-6245.
The American Freedom Network is not funded or supported by special interest groups or government programs. The American Freedom Network is not sponsored by advertisers demanding content or programming control. The American Freedom Network is solely funded by you, the listener. Please help keep the American Freedom Network on the air by purchasing one of our sponsor's fine products or by calling 1-800-205-6245 to make a donation. The American Freedom Network needs your help.
Bill of Rights, Article 1. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of a religion, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press, or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Article 2. A well-regulated militia, being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms, shall not be infringed.
Greetings, John Lofton, recovering Republican here. Are you like me? Does everything you see, read about, or hear make you want to... Yeah, do that. If so, then you really should hear our program, The American View. It starts right here on KHNC Radio, November 5th at 10 a.m. And though I have strong views, I do consider the opinion of others.
Why don't you get a toupee with some brains in it?
That's The American View, November 5th, 10 a.m.
Now is the time to begin to heal the planet.
Zip it, Al. Return the prize.
Well, Dr. Stan here at the American Freedom Network, and if you would like the information we've accumulated on the Kennedy assassination, we have two 4-tape sets. The first 4-tape set has an interview with Lee Harvey Oswald and 2 hours with General Fletcher Prouty, who is the Pentagon liaison to the CIA, and a fascinating interview going into the background of his experience. 2 hours of actually interview with Fletcher Prouty, who's passed away, but it is a classic interview. Tells how we financed Ho Chi Minh. Yes, the head of the Vietnamese communists who we fought, and suddenly, immediately after the Second World War, we sent Ho Chi Minh massive amounts of military equipment so that he could fight the French, and then he could fight the Americans when we went to war there in the 1960s. Understand these things are planned long ahead of time, just as exactly today as we look at what's going on in Iraq. And in fact, recently Congress has labeled the Iranian National Guard, I think it is. This Iranian group, which is really the offset of their secret police there, as a terrorist organization. But nobody ever tells you that terrorist organization was the Shah's secret police, which was trained by the CIA, which became the Iranian National Guard. So understand, nothing as it appears to be. They're preparing us for a war with Iran. And the president just yesterday said, you know, unless we stop the Iranians, we're going to have World War III. How are we going to stop the Iranians? Well, we're going to plunge the world into war, a prelude to World War III. Isn't that logical? You stop war by creating war? Nothing going on today makes any sense unless you understand the powerful spiritual forces working behind the scenes. Well, anyway, if you'd like to understand the Kennedy assassination, we do have 2 4-tape sets. The second 4-tape set has an interview with Madeleine Duncan Brown, who is Lyndon Johnson's mistress. Fascinating information. 2 4-tape sets on the Kennedy assassination, a book entitled Kill Zone, a sniper looks at D.D. Plaza, and then we carry one video put out by Bob Fletcher on the Kennedy assassination. So if you'd like to get these, our number is 1-800-544-8927. But there's no question there has been a cover-up of the true cause of what happened back in 1963 when Kennedy was killed, exactly as there is a cover-up today on what happened with the Oklahoma City bombing and the downing of TW 800 and, of course, what happened on September 11, 2001. We cannot tell the American people the truth. And if the truth, as we're told it, is that at least 15 of the 19 hijackers came from Saudi Arabia, those 19 hijackers who took down the Twin Towers, and, of course, Osama bin Laden was from Saudi Arabia, and his family is in Saudi Arabia, and good friends with the Bushes. So, after all, when the buildings went down, why didn't we attack Saudi Arabia? Why did we attack Afghanistan? They were willing to send Osama bin Laden out of their country to trial in another country. But we didn't want a solution. We wanted a war. And once we got in the war with Afghanistan, then we could justify the war with Iraq. And then, of course, this will be a prelude to the war with Iran. When it's coming, I don't know, but I feel that something big is afoot, something very important is afoot. Our number, 1-800-544-8927. Remember, on October 28th, an all-day conference here in the Monterey Bay area, if you can make it, 1-800-544-8927. Until tomorrow, may the Lord be with you.